This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three. Yes, coming to you live, ESPN Studios at the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, and Bart, when it's hour number three, what is that?
The power hour!
Oh, I jumped the gun on the on the gong. My bad. I didn't know you were going to like hesitate.
No, you get jacked up when Chris comes in.
I do get fired up.
It's instant energy.
It is instant energy.
I think we're part of Chris's Monday cardio. He'd be talking so fast.
This is warm up. Yeah, this is how we get people fired up. CeCe, what's up, man?
Going in, I hadn't even jumped on the show yet. And you already taking shots? Come on, bro. I thought we were better than that.
I said it's part of your cardio.
How is it a part of my cardio, man? Just because I'm spitting facts and I'm trying to debunk of the narratives that you're putting out there?
Because you're bringing in the energy. So the energy.
I am bringing the energy.
The energy burns calories.
We know the third hour of your show is the power hour and we all get it. But I don't even understand why you taking shots at me when I'm just trying to help you out, bro. I'm trying to make sure your eyes match your football acumen.
Some of the things you said
coming into week 10, I'm just saying, Bart, didn't necessarily work out the way we thought it would, huh?
Can the people out there, Sage, Chris, Canty, understand that that was a compliment and not an insult? That was love. That was 100%. That was 100% love.
I'm kind of feeling like Chris is also trying to like diminish our excitement about the power hour. He's like, power hour and all that.
Yeah, you part of the power hour.
Very patronizing.
It's hard to have a power hour when we got to talk about the Jets.
Well, that's a fair point.
We don't even want to talk about the Jets.
But we know we're going to do it.
I want to talk about Tom Brady.
No.
I want to talk about them Cowboys.
I don't want to
talk about discount double check.
I don't want to talk about either after what happened yesterday in Washington.
Yeah. Tom doesn't want to talk about Tom right now either. But, I mean, we've got to. Chris, I saw Linsanity happen before my eyes. Jeremy Lin was such a great story. It was six games, but they were wonderful games. And in the end, when the Knicks went down to Miami to play the Heat, a team that was like, oh, this guy's a star? Oh, this is your star? And they beat the crap out of him in that game. And we never really heard that was never the same level of Linsanity again. It was sad to watch. It was frustrating to watch. It was tough to watch. But you just felt like this moment had to be coming because, man, Cinderella, midnight happens for everybody in these stories. Has midnight happened for Mike White? Is this fun little era over?
Well, it feels like it is, right? Rob Saleh left the door open for Mike White in case he did go out there and play good against a really good Buffalo Bills defense. If he performed, then you got to let the hot hand play. Like, that's just the reality of it. If for no other reason, him continuing to sell the idea of competition and it being a meritocracy when it comes to the development of his program with the Jets. But that didn't happen yesterday. Mike White fell flat on his face, and I think the offensive line and the supporting cast had a lot to do with it. Now, I'm not going to absolve Mike White of blame, but some of those mistakes, some of those turnovers, we got to put on the receivers or the offensive line. I mean, the first interception that he threw, Abada hits his arm as it's coming forward. He was trying to target Jamison Crowder, who was wide open, and it ends up being an interception. And then on that one he threw in the third quarter, not the first one where Tre'Davious White picked it off, but the second one where he was trying to get the ball out, it was a situation where Corey Davis has got to be able to come back to the football and make that play for his quarterback. He didn't do that, and on top of that, Corey Davis had to fumble at the end of the first half. But it was just a disastrous game for the Jets and for Mike White on a number of fronts, and ultimately they couldn't overcome the turnovers that they had on the offensive side of the ball and give themselves a chance to make it a fourth quarter game.
Here's where you know it was a bad game, where Chris has to explain, not the second interception, but the one after that one. Like when you're having to explain how many interceptions, there were so many, I have to give you specifics on which one, you know it was a bad game. And it's leading us back, Chris, to this. And it's now questioning once again the direction of the franchise and really those who are running it. And Joe Douglas has had two drafts. Robert Saleh is in his first year as a head coach. Robert Saleh came in as a guy with a defensive resume. And yet his defense, I mean, can I give you these numbers? Because they're almost embarrassing to give. Rich Cimini had this stuff. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
So the Jets have allowed 175 points in the last four games. It's the second most allowed in a four-game span by any team since the merger. That would be 1970. They're also the first team to allow at least 45 points three times in a four-game span since the 1966 Giants. They've surrendered 1,890 total yards in the same stretch, which is the worst four-game period in franchise history. Is this the right head coach?
Well, here's the thing, Alan. I mean, I know we want to be critical of Rob Saleh, but when your offense is minus 10 in turnover margin, when you got 13 turnovers, it's going to be hard for your defense to be able to get teams off the field, be able to make sure that they get wins in sudden change situations. I understand everybody wants to point the finger at the defense, and that's supposed to be the expertise of the head coach. When your offense is turning the ball over at that clip, it's going to be hard for your defense to be at their best. And when those guys are on the field as long as they were in yesterday's game, Bart, you know this, man. It's hard to continue to keep up that energy and that competitiveness for that long when your offense is not being able to sustain drives and not being able to move the ball. So I think that was the biggest thing in yesterday's game. I mean, you're talking about, Allen, a six-minute stretch where it was absolute disaster for the Jets. Now, the one part about yesterday's game plan that I will be overly critical of Rob Saleh for is why are you continuing to leave these young corners in man coverage against Stephon Diggs?
Exactly.
Help me out with that one. I don't even understand it. First of all, it's a mismatch with Brandon Echols on him. But then right there in a two-minute situation, Brandon Echols gets hurt. It's Javelin Guidry. You want to leave him in man coverage? What part of the game is that? I understand that corners shouldn't be biting on double moves in those situations, but at the same time, you've got to have some situational awareness as a head coach. You can't leave those guys on an island. And after you got burned the first time in the red zone with the touchdown that wasn't from Steph Diggs, you came back with man coverage with Javelin Guidry again. Are you surprised that that ended up being six? I'm sure Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills offense, was like, what the hell are they doing? No. I mean, they had to be at the line of scrimmage saying, oh, no, 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 check 40. Check 40, meaning we're going to throw at number 40 for the New York Jets. It had to be that situation. So, yeah, I think when it comes to those types of decisions, it's fair to be critical of Rob Saleh. And I think that was the sequence of possessions where the game kind of spiraled out of control. So in terms of yesterday's outcome, I understand why we would want to hang that on the head coach. But overall, with the numbers that they've put up over the last month, it's hard for me to be critical of the defense and Rob Saleh just because of how bad the offense has been in taking care of the football.
Yeah, but that's what we're talking about. And that's, you know, what we really went in on the postgame show. The fact that, you know, this kid, you know, is a young player only in his second year. You put him on there, arguably a top five receiver. And once you give up, so that goes to Ulbrich, right? And to make it even worse, like, it was cover zero. That's the worst part about it. The fact that it's cover zero and you really put him on an island because you don't even know what leverage to take because you got everything you want. So you have to protect
Bart, answer me this question, though, Bart. Why are you in zero in the red zone in a two-minute situation?
That's my point.
Why are you even in zero? Why are you in – it doesn't – in that situation, Bart, what do defensive coordinators like to do? You know what? We're going to get eight sets of eyeballs on the quarterback. We're going to rush three and drop eight, and there's not going to be anywhere to throw the football. And then if they throw it short, we're going to rally to it. Hopefully we tackle them inbounds in the field of play, and we can run the clock down to a point where they're forced to kick a field goal. But no, instead of it being a 13-3 game at halftime, it ends up being a 17-3 game at halftime. Now, should you have gotten a field goal opportunity after Corey Davis makes that catch? Yes, but he decided he was going to fumble the ball after you got into Amendola's range. And then, of course, we know what happens in the second half. The Bills come out with a possession. They score a touchdown. And then for whatever reason, Mike White decides he wants to take a shot in double coverage with Tre'Davious White back there. Didn't make any sense. Well, but the game got out of hand for the Jets in a hurry. It went from 17-3 to 31-3. And we know, Bart, based on what we've seen from this team on the offensive side of the ball, there's no chance that they have a coming back in that situation, especially against that group.
Well, that's the criticism, right? So the criticism is the fact that, one, everybody that has made the Buffalo Bills struggle, if you watch the game plan from the Jacksonville Jaguars the week before, it was basically cover two and allowing your line to kind of do some line stunts, knowing that they got one of their linemen back, but they had two of their starting linemen out, and that's why Jacksonville was able to eat. So that's part of the criticism. The second part of the criticism is the fact that they want to continue to run their system and not be able to adjust and make in-game adjustments. And to your last point, talking about the interception, I don't blame White for the interception. That was a great play by White because that's bad play design. They ran a over route, and actually White dropped his coverage and sloughed off and climbed high because he was in cover three, and his guy went underneath. So he was actually the backside third that climbed once his guy went underneath. And that's more on the play design, not putting somebody in front of him to run like a 15-yard out.
So no, they did have that. They did have the out. They did have the out. Tre'Davious White just got off of the out. He just got off of it because you had a player underneath that.
So that's a great play. That's a great play.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Backside, you had Corey Davis on the wheel. You could have went there, one-on-one situation, no safety over there to play. It's just a one-on-one situation with your biggest-bodied receiver rather than going to a guy in the middle of the field that happens to be under 6 feet tall.
All right, the bottom line is what we're understanding is that the Jets are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
There's no savior in the quarterback situation, and they got to go back, let Zach Wilson now get himself back on track and finish the season. And if anything to salvage this season, show me something with him by the end of the season that he is trending in the right direction.
It's the soft part of the schedule, though, Alan. So,
okay, good. This is the right time.
They should be able to compete. Ali, as a fan, I don't want them to compete because I like the fact where their draft picks
are. I was going there right now. That's the thing. Here, Chris, how about this now? If you're a Jets and Giants fan, what are you rooting for now at the second half of the season? Because right now, when you look at the standings and the draft standings, New York teams right now have 4 of the top 8 picks. The Jets are at 3-7. The Giants are at 6-8. I mean, think about that. Picks 3 through 8, 4 of them are New York teams. And so what is really the thing? How should a fan – players want to win, so I'm not going to ask from a player perspective. But if you were running a team, you're looking at this like, you know what? This is probably the direction we need to go in right now. Because you're getting help from Seattle, you're getting help from Chicago.
Yeah, Alan, I hear you on that front, but
I hate it.
I'm a big believer in winning football games and that attributing to building your culture. It's all about trying to develop your program if you're Rob Sala, and you've got to have something to support all of the things that you've been saying in team meetings and all the things that you've been asking these guys to do on practice from a day-in, day-out basis. If you don't have wins to support that, it does affect the credibility of the head coach when he stands up in front of the team and he addresses them every single day. So if you're a Jets fan, if you're a Giants fan, you're rooting for your team to win as many games as possible. You already got the quarterback that you want to build around in Zach Wilson. So it's not about being high enough to be able to get your hands on one of those guys. In theory, you got one of those guys. So now it's about trying to develop the players that you have on the roster in order to get to a point where you can be consistently competitive. And if you're a Jets fan, you can hold your head up, man, because no team in the NFL has more rookies taking more snaps than the New York Football Jets.
No team.
And so that's something that bodes well for them in the future, because the only way you get better at football is by playing football, and these young guys are getting a chance to play in meaningful games, even though we realize that this season is all about development and the quarterback specifically. I mean, being able to have some wins on your coach's resume going into year 2 is going to be great for this locker room. It's going to be great for the organization, and it's also going to be great for the general manager, because I think people are going to start looking at him a little more with a critical eye, because now it's time for him to start producing some results as well. So I'm a big believer in winning football games, Alan. It ain't about tanking. This ain't basketball. This ain't no other sport. This is about trying to win as many games as you can.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. Again, you just start to get selfish. You wonder what to root for at this point. I guess trending up is the one thing you want to root for.
You can definitely root for Seattle to keep playing the way they're playing.
Maybe that's what we do.
That's the best.
I don't think you got to worry about that, Bart.
Yeah.
they about to start shipping the cars home out there.
Oh, here comes U-Haul. We know.
And Russell Wilson might be putting a for sale sign in his yard.
Ooh.
We'll see about that.
Oh, see, Kenny's saying it too. That's what Bart said as well, that this might be the year after all the flirting over the last couple of years.
He gave it a year. He gave it a year, and they got worse.
Man, when you look at the Rams where they are, I mean, Russ, he's got to look at that division and think, I don't think we got a chance.
Maybe Russ shouldn't have came out with that succession-themed comeback video. Maybe that wasn't the best of ideas.
Probably
because it certainly didn't feel that way when watching him play at Lambeau yesterday.
You know that all with Sierra's, let me get my production team in. We got to put it, like, you know how it is.
I thought it was a bad look when he did it, and it's even worse now that they caught that L like that, and he was a big reason why, throwing 2 interceptions in the end zone.
All right,
just
so
saying.
From succession to resurrection, Odell tonight, what are you expecting out of him in our last game of the week, Monday night? Robert Woods' injury now makes him even more important to the Rams. What do you expect his fit will be with L.A.?
Tonight is going to be a limited package just because the guys had, 3 practices to get ready for this game. So I don't think we're going to see a huge dose of Odell. I think moving forward, because they do have their bye week coming up, you're going to get much more of him. They'll get him integrated into that passing attack. But I don't anticipate that we're going to see Odell for more than, you know, 20, 25 snaps in this game. Now, I think it's huge because of an unfortunate turn of events with Robert Woods' injury on Friday. They're going to need this guy now. He's going to be that deep speed element, take the top off of the defense. And Sean McVay has been looking for that in his offense since he got to L.A., and he hasn't consistently had that. And so that's the thing that Odell does differently than the rest of the guys in that receiving core. So it'll be interesting to see how Odell helps to unlock that part of McVay's playbook, because we know he traded Jared Goff for Matt Stafford for that very reason, right? Mm-hmm. Jared Goff had some limitations in terms of what he could do pushing the ball down the field in the vertical passing game. You don't have that issue with Matt Stafford at quarterback, and now because of Odell's presence, you don't have that issue at the wide receiver corps. So this is only going to make this offense that much more dangerous, and you're probably talking about Cooper Kupp going to another level just because of how the defense is going to be stretched having to account for Odell. So him being out on the field is going to make everybody on that Rams offense that much better.
Feels like it makes them the favorites, which maybe they always have been. Chris, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Fellas, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Chris Canty. He's giving us a Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. You know, he didn't agree with me on the Saleh thing. He talked about Saleh's in his first year.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's your offense putting you in a tough situation defensively. But you know, again, I think for Robert Saleh, he's such a likable guy. Yeah, I want him to do well, but it's hard to look at what they've given up defensively and think, does he know what he's doing?
No. See, this is the problem. And sometimes Rex used to fall victim of this as well. Because he's the defensive mastermind, you assume that he has something to do with calling the plays. That's Ulbrich, right? So what happens is Ulbrich is doing a bad job. That's his friend. Right, he brought all these guys over. Yeah, a lot of these guys are friends. He's gonna have to be willing to maybe fire some of his friends if they don't get the job done. Saleh, I think, helps out on the third down package. That's it. Everything else, just like people used to think, Rex wasn't in that room. That was Mike Pettine and Dennis Thurman a lot of times, right? Well, so they got the credit, but Rex would come in when we start struggling doing the third down stuff, because that's the blitz package stuff. That's the hardest part. It's the third down, getting off the field part. So, like, that's Ulbrich. So, like, we see Joe Judge last year get rid of a lot of his coaching staff and bring in more coaches. Saleh may have to do the same. And sometimes being a nice guy will only get you unemployed. And sometimes you got to fire some people that's close to you, that's been in your circle, because they're so familiar with you that they think that, you know, they can't be fired, right? Because they feel safe. And and you need to be on edge a little bit sometimes.
Well, like Bruce Arians calling out his coaching staff after performance yesterday. All right, you said that. You said that what you did was make a comparison to Rex Ryan and Robert Saleh. Well, your guy, Rex Ryan, who you do Organized Chaos, the podcast with every week, he was on DiPietro and Rothenberg this morning, and he wants everybody to know, don't you compare me to that guy.
This is a horrendous defense. You know, now they're going to use, well, we never had our safety. So what? Everybody has a million injuries, let alone an above-average safety you're missing. I remember playing without five corners. It never looked like this. I think we were fifth in the league that year in defense. This guy's supposed to be a defensive guru. I heard everything, and I take it personal on this one. Everything I heard about was, well, this guy's a lot like myself, but without the bad part. Yeah, well, some of the bad part you need, because this team doesn't play with any damn heart. That's the thing that's disappointing to me. And don't ever compare this guy to me, this Robert Saleh to me, because statistically, one time they were like a top defense. All right? Here's one thing they're going to be familiar with. 4 out of 5 years, the 49ers were dead last in their division. So he's going to be dead last again. So he's used to that. So to me, I'm a little pissed off about it when I hear that this guy, you know, his background's a lot like yours. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And quit trying to tell the New York fan base that he's going to be, you know, he's going to be like me as a defensive-minded guy or whatever. I had a clue of how to handle a rookie quarterback. I also never got my butt kicked like this, you know, in a four-game stretch ever, even when I never had corners or whatever it was. Never made excuse and never put a product out there like this. So I'm sick and tired of it. The Jets need a hell of a lot better effort from everybody, from coaches, players, you name it, they need a better effort.
Rex Ryan not holding back as normal. Say, tell us how you really feel, Rex. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 Is Rex right? We'll get Bart's take on this, your take on it as well, coming up next. But first, Bart's going to tell us about Vivid Seats.
With the safe return of live events, you can actually be there and catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right. Every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every slam. Whoa, one-timer. Do that hockey.
Yes.
Every sideline grab, you can experience it live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy from upper level to courtside. Vivid Seats has you covered for all your events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Life happens live. We're doing it live! Back after this.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
You're not throwing the ball to me. You're not utilizing me to even give me a chance to screw it up.
Followed by Greeny.
The Giants have got to be the most technologically challenged franchise in all of sports.
Spend your mornings with us right here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Bing bong.
I swear that wasn't me. A Knicks troll somewhere, maybe. Who knows? It's Bart and Han, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. Bart, as we were just talking about the Jets and their misery and Robert Saleh and whether or not he's the right guy, and I played you that sound of Rex Ryan saying, don't compare me to that guy. Saleh, according to Rich Cimini, says this today and when talking to the media. This thing is going to turn, and when it does, it's going to be freaking awesome. All right, yeah. I'm convinced.
Yeah, well,
there's certain things you do. Look, I like this guy. Somebody's got to tell him this is not the stuff you do at the podium in New York. This doesn't sell here.
Yeah, he's naive to the fact of where he is. And, you know, the people that's responsible for the media has to let him know, like, listen, just be matter of fact, straight to the point, you know, but all this, you know,
rah-rah stuff.
Yeah, Hawkamania. Yeah, brother. Like, New York only, listen, they've heard that. They only want to see that stuff when it's happening.
Now, his response will be, I've got to stay true to who I am.
That's
this
true.
Is who I am
That's
and all
true,
that stuff.
But it's about messaging, right? You got to understand, it's falling on deaf ears. Like, if you had a certain style and you were addressing the team and you wanted to motivate them and it wasn't working, you would change that, right? So it's different layers. Nobody's just one thing.
I just don't need you to convince me, hey, don't worry. Things are going to work out. It's going to be fine. All is well. Like, don't give me the Kevin Bacon. I'm not buying it.
Yeah, they'll tune you out. They'll tune you out around here, and you know you don't want that. You don't want that heat. Like, he's in a newlywed phase, right? You know, Joe Judge was in a newlywed phase. He has an opportunity, just like Joe Judge did, to win some games late in the season to sell some optimism. You know, if they
that's
win
how
some,
you sell optimism,
right? Right. So they win some games because they have some winnable games. They got the Texans, beat a team like the Eagles, like who was considered a middle of the pack type of team, a capable team, but not a team that you should be able to beat, especially if you have number two overall pick. You got Miami twice. You know what I'm saying? You got the Texans. Like, those are four winnable games. You win those, then they'll start saying, okay, well, we know we're better than the bad teams. Mm-hmm. And then they got Jacksonville late. That could be five victories.
Now, again,
That's seven wins.
I know
that's
what you're
respectable.
Look, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm not getting any caught up in that. I know you explain it to me, you map it out, and I can buy in, but I've been hurt before. I don't want to be hurt again.
Yeah, man.
Now listen. Rex had the same bombast, but Rex's teams won when he first got here. So he could do that.
Yeah,
he can get away with it because you're like, all right, well, he's proven it. Like, he stepped in. When you come in and you're just getting smacked around, you can't talk like this. It doesn't work.
When you're doing something that's never been done before, not even by, like, the creamsicle Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like the creamsicles and the aints, meh.
Yeah, it's not you good. How'd you feel about what Rex said there that we played earlier about him saying, don't compare me to Robert Saleh?
Well,
people are trying to say we're the same because he comes in with a defensive resume and he's a guy at the podium that's rah-rah, but he said, don't ever compare me to this guy. You played for Rex with the Jets. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's nobody wants to be compared to anybody, right? Right. Everybody wants to think that they're by themselves or they stand on their own. And especially if somebody's getting the credibility of being Rex without having the resume as far as winning in this market. Now, you can win somewhere else, but winning in this market is a little bit different because of the things you have to go through. So I think that, you know, Rex has the right to feel the way that he feels. And, you know, maybe he's been holding this in for a while because he's heard that he's him, and but without the bad stuff. And Rex is probably saying, well, what the hell is the bad stuff? What are you talking about? So, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm sure he maybe took a little offense to that, but he's probably saying, hey, this guy doesn't have my resume. It's only very few coordinators or coaches that have Rex's resume, and they usually start with guys like, well, his dad, of course. But, you know, you can say Jim Schwartz every once in a while. You can say, you know, Spagnuolo because he's had sustained success. Like Wade Phillips, right? You know, so Rex wants to be remembered, like, far before he was a good coach, because people would say he wasn't a great coach. He won, he loudmouth, but whatever.
Head coach.
Yeah, head coach. But, you know, his resume as a defensive coordinator, I would put that against anybody. You know what I mean? He should be put up there with the Dick LeBeaus of the world. He should be put up there with Schwartz, the Wade Phillips of the world. And he should be put up there with his dad. Right. You know, remember, Rex did win a Super Bowl with the Ravens. So, like, don't – for everybody out there, he never won nothing. He did win a Super Bowl as a coach.
Yeah, well, and he was very successful as a coordinator.
And it was that defensive line.
And then stepped in as a head coach and had early, immediate success. Yeah. It just wasn't sustained in New York. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the calls on this. We go to Aaron in Connecticut first. Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening? Good.
Let me start off by saying, Bart, you are absolutely right, because I remember that Super Bowl, and I do remember when you left. But before anything, I think I want to say that Rex is right, only because of the fact that he come into New York from Baltimore after he picked you up. It's funny because he went to the AFC division championship, I think, with Mark Sanchez. Do you remember that?
I was there.
I mean, he was there. They went to consecutive AFC championship games in the first year Mark Sanchez was a rookie.
But what people don't know, Rex also went to the AFC championship with Joe Flacco as a rookie the year before that.
2008, I remember. 2007, I'm sorry, that's right. Also, I did want to say that you can't really put these new coaches with Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan was one of those guys that, you know, defense was his thing. You couldn't speak to him about defense because he was making sure no other teams were scoring more than 20 points. Am I wrong?
Well, you got to think, Rex's resume, right? He's finished in the top 10, you know, as a coordinator and as a head coach. His first year here, number one overall defense. When can the Jets ever say that?
Right.
And then the next year, you know, third in defense, right? And when he's talking about no corners, that's when he moved Allen over from safety to cornerback, and they still played well at the secondary position to be able to cover up his stuff.
And again, it's because Saleh comes in with the resume as a defensive coordinator, the guy whose defense got a team to a Super Bowl, and then comes in here. And the defense this season has just been, in many cases, we gave you the stats, an abomination. Brandon is in Florida. Brandon.
Hey, guys. I just want to say I'm a sexy Rex fan, always have been. Until Robert Saleh does a double stunt and puts a lineman in coverage, I don't believe he can like or stand up to my guy Rex. You know, Rex is the guy that put, to me, defense on the map. I don't think it's right. This guy played it safe in San Francisco. I mean, yes, everyone can say what they want to say about a coach and, you know, your time and your title, but I agree with Rex. Keep that guy's name out of his mouth.
Well, to what he's talking about, Rex was, at least I think he created the Aniba defense, right? That's when nobody's in the stands, and he would often put Haloti Ngata at safety and scheme up a way to make the running back have to block Haloti Ngata from a safety position. You know, he would put Adelius Thomas at squat corner, myself at squat corner. So he was an innovator as well, much like his dad with the creation of the 46 mm-hmm. defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he's just saying, give me a higher level of respect until, you know, this guy, you know, has some of my accolades.
How would you feel as a player when Saleh also talking today was saying it's not the game plan that needs to change, the problem is the execution, which to me sounds like coaching is putting it on players.
Yeah.
But I'll flip it and say, if your players aren't executing, that's a coaching problem.
Yeah, of course, right? If they can't get it done and they can't, you know, they can't conceptualize it or understand, then you have to change your defense. You have to change your plays. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't care if he does it and he stays on top 100% of the time, Guidry. 9 out of 10 times, Stephon Diggs is going to win that 50-50 ball, that matchup, because it's a talent issue. Mm-hmm. So when you're deficient at a certain position, you know, you find ways to cover it up, right? When teams are just better than you, you figure out ways. Like when the Colts are running the ball on you, you change your front to a sink front earlier, understanding that four guys aren't big enough to handle a double team because they're getting so much movement. You change your stunt. Or you start putting them on the move and slanting them like the coach used to do when they had the little line with Mathis, Freeney, and all those other guys. They start moving the line all over the place. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the adjustment to the adjustment. Because the adjustment yesterday to Mike White was the fact that they were rotating the safeties post snap. They were confusing him. He didn't know what they were in. They were, you know, rushing and then dropping, and he almost hit a couple of linebackers in the hands because it looked like before at the snap they were rushing, and they rushed for 2-3 steps to buy the arms of the lineman, and then they dropped back, and he almost hit Milano in the hands, you know, a couple of times. If he could catch better, he would have 7 interceptions.
Please, don't even want that. All right, we'll continue with your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we want you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, which brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We'll continue, like I said, with the calls on the mess that is the New York Jets right now, and also Overreaction Monday, as we do each week. Week 10, what did we see on Sunday that deserves an overreaction? Also, Odell's impact on the Rams, what will it be by the end of the season? Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Wake up and get up with Key, Jay, and Max.
Their offense really isn't that explosive. What they do is they trick you. They got some of that old New England Patriot trick 'em in them. Make you think that they're doing a whole lot of stuff, and they really not.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Followed by Green.
More information on that as we get it.
Weekday mornings on ESPN Radio. Bart and Hahn.
Welcome back. Bart and Hahn. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We had Chris Canty, Mike Tannenbaum. Bart and Chris haven't had it as usual. And if you missed that or any other portion of the show, you can find all 3 hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Just click subscribe and you won't miss a thing. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. On the misery that is the Jets. And probably going back to Zach Wilson, I would guess, right? You don't want to – I mean, Mike White
– if he's not healthy, you might give Joe Flacco – this is about evaluating the rest.
You don't give it to Mike White?
No.
Are you basically saying, like, will we see Mike White again?
Listen, I think you – listen, it's about evaluating the rest of the team,
yeah.
Right? So if Mike White had a shot, you know, he knew what he was on. Like, his swag was on 100,000.
Yeah.
Like, and
that's
why –
did you hear him say that he
– should have been drafted first round.
He sees himself as – he should have been number one?
Yo. And that's what I'm saying. If you're going to talk like that, you got to walk like that.
Too soon.
And, yeah, it was way too soon.
You're like Willie Beeman?
Yeah.
I'm going to be all right. Right?
Yeah, like that whole thing. Yeah, so when you cut me, trade me, whatever you do, hang me up to attack a 300-pound. I don't be doing that. So, anyway, I think you at this point, you brought Flacco in for a reason, right? And it was to be able to mentor and maybe play a couple of games.
Okay.
I'm sure you promised him that a little bit.
Although, like you said, the schedule is late.
Yeah.
This is where you want Zach to play.
But if he's not healthy, if he's not 100%,
fair.
Right? This thing is supposed to be 2 to 4 weeks. It's been 2 weeks.
Mm.
So if you get an opportunity, you saw Flacco winning that game, and he looked like Flacco.
Yeah.
Threw the ball where it's supposed to go. Nice little back shoulder to I think it was Elijah Moore. You know, nice little back shoulder because he knows where to place it. He understood, okay, that's not covered in his league.
Mm-hmm.
He's in great position, but his head isn't turned. So I'm going to throw it to my receiver and let my receiver make a play. Maybe other guys come to life if Flacco gets in there and he gets an opportunity. But at this point, who cares, right? At this point, if Flacco – everybody gets a shot. You know what I mean?
Well, but eventually you want to see Wilson
in there. Yeah,
eventually you want him back. 888-SAY-ESPN.
It's like 7 games left to go, man. Give him 3.
888-729-3776. Tom in New York. What's up, Tom?
Hey, I just had a quick question. You know, Bart, you played for the Jets. You played in the league. And I've watched forever and I've suffered the Jets' misery eternally. But like on a simple fourth down in midfield by the halftime and they can't even get the playoff. I mean, that how much of that falls on the coach?
That's 100% the coach.
That was mad.
Because even if you're the coach and like they're not getting to their set and you want to go out on fourth down, you got to play in late, you should be sitting there with next to the referee ready to call a timeout if he can't get it done. When you see that it's zero, they usually give you a click after zero. Like once it hit zero, he just said timeout. And the ref would have granted him the timeout. And then you could have went back, thought about it, and said, okay, let's go for it on fourth down. This is the play we want. But to not get the playoff.
It took forever just to get to the line. Like, you should have already had that play in mind. But at that point, you knew you had to get to
To make the decision.
Was it third and seven, and they got, like, 6 yards? Yeah. And it was a matter of, all right, you had to have that play ready. If we don't get the first, we've got the second play ready to go. We don't even need to huddle up. Just get right to the line. Catch their defense so they can't make the exchange they need to make. And they're just standing around talking to each other. Like, what are we doing? And then they don't even get the playoff. That's why he keeps going back to the coaching. Andrew is in Texas. Andrew.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so I actually coach. I'm a coach in the great state of Texas. But I don't know if you know anything about coaches. We're stubborn. We're very stubborn people. and so one thing that I think a lot of coaches do and make the mistake of doing is I coached with a guy who coached with Buddy Ryan, and he wanted to run the 4-6 defense, right? Well, we had no freaking athletes. You don't play the 4-6 with a single high safety and no athletes, because I'll tell you what happens. You get 77 put on you. And
sound like you're speaking from experience.
High school kid that's not committed is 600 yards passing in a game. Like, oh, my God. Just a little bit of experience there, yeah. So I'll hang up and let y'all talk about that. Yeah. But again, your system has to fit your players.
Yeah,
Andrew, great call, and I completely agree. You always have to have the players to fit the way you want to play.
And that's why I said, like, remember for years this team was built to be what? A 3-4 team defense, right? And so now they're trying to make the conversion to a 4-3. And, you know, do they have the personnel to do it? Maybe, maybe not. But it'd be interesting to see if the guy Thibodeau falls for them at 3, the defensive end, and now he's there and you got Carl Lawson, what do you do? Because at that point, you don't go 4-3. I think you go 3-4 with those type of athletes. But, you know, that's what's important, man. You have to match your personnel. Like your scheme, you can't just say, okay, well, the players got to execute better. Well, what if they can't? Maybe you're not teaching it right. Maybe they're not there
yet.
That's
how I feel.
You talk about a young team. You got guys, Bryce Hall, them out there on Emmanuel Sanders and Stephon Diggs, straight man-to-man, straight barbecue chicken. And then what happens is the dude, his butt, he falls out of bounds. And what do you do next year? You run it. The next play, you run it back. Like, talk about being arrogant. He just caught the ball on your guy, and now you're going to run the same play, and not even the same play. You're going to make it even harder for him. Cover zero, no safety in the middle of the field. Everybody knows it's cover zero.
The good news is we can stop talking about the Jets. A lot more to talk about this week. The Knicks tonight as well, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.